Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that indeed Allah is the Raqib, the Judgment, Amma Ba'du. For certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strain. And every strain is in the fire. We'll begin tonight's talk off, inshaAllah ta'ala, with the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Fajr, verses 27-30, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O the soul that is at ease, return to your Lord and be pleased with Him, and enter you amongst my servants, and enter you into my Jannah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is inviting the believers to Jannah. And this is the invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His believing servants to enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of Jannah, among those who accept this invitation to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also says in Surah At-Tawbah, verses 21-22, يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَرِضْوَانٍ وَجَنَّاتٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and give them glad tidings from their Lord, of mercy from Him, and being pleased from His ridwan, and jannat, gardens for them in which they will have na'imun muqeen, or an everlasting enjoyment abiding there and forever, and this is a great reward from Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, He's inviting the believers to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting the believers to Jannah. And in order to get to Jannah, we have to fulfill some of the conditions or some of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam has had us to fulfill in order to enter into that Jannah. But before we mention these things, we wanted to mention a point, and that is that no one is going to enter into Jannah simply because of those things that he did, because of his deeds, but by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 32, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ اُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعَمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who when the angels take their souls, they are طيبين, they are good people, it will be said to them, Salamun alaykum, enter into Jannah by that which you used to do. And we're going to understand this ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking into consideration the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Saddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru fa innahu lan yadkhul al-jannata ahadan amalu. قالوا ولا أنت يا رسول الله قال ولا أنا إلا أن يتغمد إلا أن يتغمدني الله منه رحمة واعملوا واعلموا أن أحب العمل إلى الله أدومه وإن قل. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, He says, do your best and try to be correct and give glad tidings. Because indeed, no one will enter into Jannah because of his deeds. And they said, even you, Ya Rasulullah, and the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, not even me. Except that Allah would show his mercy to me. And know that indeed the most beloved deeds to Allah are those that are done on a consistent basis, no matter how few they are. Here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's making it clear that no one is going to enter into Jannah simply because of the deeds that he does. But that he will enter into Jannah from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with the deeds that he does. So he has to work in order to get to Jannah. In order to accept this invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to work and to strive for Jannah, and he's going to enter it with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to show his mercy to us. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to try to summarize a series that we had in our masjid, the Purification of the Soul series, where we had the section 60 some ways to get to Jannah. And of course, we're not able to mention 60 some ways in tonight's class, inshallah ta'ala, but we're going to mention as many as the time permits. Before we mention them, I wanted to mention the statement of Khalid ibn Ma'dan al-Kila'i from the Tabi'een, rahimahullah, who says, إذا فتح لأحدكم باب الخير فليسرع إليه فإنه لا يدري متى يغلق عنه. He says, rahimahullah, if any one of you has the doors of good open for him, then he should hurry up to them, because no one knows when those doors will be closed. Here, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to take a look at some of the statements of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in showing us how to accept this invitation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to enter into his Jannah. And there are going to be many ways that we'll see from the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. But if any one of us has the opportunity to take advantage of this good, then we should take advantage of it immediately, because no one knows when these doors of good will be closed. Or no one knows when he will die and he won't have a chance to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to take advantage of his life in order to do that which will enable him to enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he says in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, a Muslim, ما من عبد قال لا إله إلا الله ثم مات على ذلك إلا دخل الجنة قلت وإن زنى وإن سرق قال وإن زنى وإن سرق قلت وإن زنى وإن سرق قال وإن زنى وإن سرق ثلاثا ثم قالت الرابعة وإن زنى وإن سرق على رغم أنف أبي ذر. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and we're going to make this the first point, or the first way, from among the many ways to enter into Jannah, and this is by making the statement, La ilaha illallah. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that no servant of Allah ever says, La ilaha illallah. And then he dies on that phrase, except that he enters into Jannah. So I said, and this is the narrator of the hadith, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, even if a person fornicates or commits adultery and steals, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam said, even if he commits fornication and he steals. So I said to him again, even if he commits adultery and he steals, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if he commits adultery and steals, and this went on three times until the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam said on the fourth time, even if he commits adultery and fornication and steals, as opposed to Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu Abu Dharr. So here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing us a way from among the ways to enter into Jannah, and that is to make the statement of La ilaha illallah. And here we see that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is giving such weight to this statement of La ilaha illallah, that even if we happen to slip into some sins, among the major sins, as fornication and stealing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can enter us into Jannah because of the weightiness of the statement, La ilaha illallah. And I mentioned in the beginning of this talk that we should take advantage of it. And that people should be quick to say, La ilaha illallah, to take advantage of this way to Jannah, because you don't know when the door of khayr is going to be closed and you won't have a chance to say, La ilaha illallah, to take advantage of that way to Jannah. Also among the ways to Jannah is by the remembrance of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'een asma, niyatan illa wa'ida, man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. And this is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, Indeed Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1. And whoever memorizes them enters into Jannah. So here, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he's showing us another way from among the ways to enter into Jannah, and that's by memorizing the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting them to ourselves. And working in accordance to the remembrance of these names, as the ulama of Islam explained, as we remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Razzaq, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for us. As we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samir, or the all-hearing, that we watch what we say, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hears what we say. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir. And when we remember this beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we watch what we do, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is looking at us. And this is living and practicing Islam in accordance to the remembrance of the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a way from among the ways to accept the invitation to paradise. Also among the ways is obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he says, كُلُّ أُمَّةِ يَدَخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. And this hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, all of my ummah will enter into Jannah except the one who refuses. And they said, who will refuse, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever obeys me enters into Jannah, and whoever disobeys me has refused. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shows us that obedience to him alayhi salatu wa sallam is among the ways to enter into Jannah. And this is for us to be keen on this point, to remove from our tongues and from our mentality and our practicing of this deen of Islam by saying that something is only sunnah. By saying that something is only sunnah, meaning that I don't have to practice that. But that obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the ways to Jannah. And that we should take advantage of all of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam that we have the opportunity to take advantage of. Whether you have to do it or you don't have to do it, it's guidance from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should take advantage of the sunnah and not to say that that is only sunnah, meaning I don't have to do it. But that we should take advantage when we have the opportunity to do some good, to do it before that door is closed and we don't have the opportunity to do good any longer. Also among the ways to enter into Jannah is by the recitation of the Qur'an and memorizing the Qur'an. As Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اِقْرَأْ وَارْتَقِي وَرَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلْ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتِكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُ بِهَا. And this is collected by Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it will be said to the person of the Qur'an, صاحب القرآن. And this is the person that recites the Qur'an and memorizes the Qur'an and practices Islam in accordance to the Qur'an. It will be said to him, read and recite the Qur'an beautifully, the way that you used to recite it beautifully in the dunya. because indeed your level in Jannah will be to the last ayat that you recite. Meaning that it will be said to the people of the Qur'an, to the Muslims on Yawm al-Qiyamah to recite the Qur'an. And that each ayat that you recite, you will be raised a level in Jannah. And this is an encouragement for us now to take advantage of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially as the month of the Qur'an, Ramadan, it's coming up soon, and we should take advantage even if Arabic isn't our language, and that we don't know how to read the Qur'an in Arabic, that there's some days left, inshallah ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with life, to learn the Arabic, how to recite the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to gain the blessings of reciting that book, in order to guarantee us or to help us to raise ourselves on Yawm al-Qiyamah in Jannah. And this is reading the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, and the Qur'an is in Arabic. And it's upon all of the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to learn some of the deen of al-Islam by means of the English language. It is still compulsory on all of the Muslims to learn some of the Arabic language, some of the alphabet, so that they can read the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, and some of the basic words in Arabic, so that they can understand what they say in their salah, and in their dua, and in their remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to accept this invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Jannah, we have to learn this Arabic so that we can recite the Quran, so that we can be raised levels in Jannah. As Jannah is going to be levels, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Al Jannatul Firdaus. Among particular verses and surahs in the Quran, and I wanted to mention them, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed us after he has said in general that reciting the Quran can earn us a way to Jannah, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed us particular surahs and particular ayahs in the Quran, as he shows us in the hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i in his book Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla. And that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من قرأ آية القرسي في دبر كل صلاة مكتوبة لم يمنعه من دخول الجنة إلا أن يموت. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, whoever recites آية القرسي at the end of each compulsory salah from the five salah, then nothing will prevent him from entering into Jannah except dying. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing that if we make the five compulsory salah, and at the end of it we recite ayatul kursi, that we will be from among the people of Jannah insha'Allah ta'ala, and that there's nothing stopping us from entering into Jannah except that we're still living, and that we're going to enter Jannah after we die, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. I just wanted to point out that this hadith, though it's collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, we generally know from Imam al-Nasa'i his book, the Sunan, Sunan al-Nasa'i. However, Imam al-Nasa'i and the other scholars of hadith, they have other books. And this is another book from Imam al-Nasa'i called Amalul Yawm wal-Layla. And this book is on dhikr and dua. Hadith on dhikr and dua from Imam al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سمع رجلا يقرأ قل هو الله أحد فقال وجبت فقلت ما وجبت قال الجنة. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic. Where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he heard a person reciting the surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, قل هو الله أحد, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said it's compulsory, or it will take place. And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Jannah. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam is teaching us that the recitation of this surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, can earn us a place in Jannah. And here, I wanted to make this point that no one should ever underestimate some of these surahs in the Quran, as we used to do when we first accepted Islam. We used to think, oh, I don't want to learn those little surahs. I want to learn the bigger surahs.
as if the bigger the surah, the more the virtue. But here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing us the virtue of surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. And that is that the reward of it is Jannah. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he heard someone reciting the surah, and he didn't say, oh, that's all you know of the Qur'an? Haven't you learned a surah bigger than Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad? But that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says it will take place. Meaning that that person will enter Jannah for reciting this surah with ikhlas. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Also among the ways to Jannah is the dua that is authentic, inshaAllah ta'ala, for entering the marketplace. And that is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, من دخل السوق فقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير كتب الله له ألف ألف حسنة ومحى عنه ألف ألف سيئة وبنى له بيتا في الجنة. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever enters the marketplace and says, and then he said this dua, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير, that Allah would write for him 1,000,000 good deeds, and that he would wipe away from him 1,000,000 bad deeds, and that he would build for him a house in Jannah. I said that this hadith is authentic, inshallah ta'ala, as some of the ulama of Islam, they differ to the authenticity of this hadith. And we hope that it's authentic, inshallah ta'ala, and that we should try to learn it to take advantage of it, because I don't know of any other statement or deed that we can do that the reward of it is 1,000,000 blessings and the removal of 1,000,000 sins and to be entered into Jannah. And this is simply for saying a dua. And most of us, we enter the marketplace every single day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the opportunity to take advantage of this dua in order to earn a place in Jannah. And here we have a marketplace at the other side of the hotel, and I hope that inshallah ta'ala when we enter it, that we will make this dua that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam taught us. Among the ways to Jannah, and this is among the easiest ways to Jannah inshallah ta'ala. And that's the statement of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, من سأل الله الجنة ثلاث مرات قالت الجنة اللهم أدخله الجنة ومن استجار من النار ثلاث مرات قالت النار اللهم أجره من النار. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Nasai, and it's authentic, where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever asks Allah for Jannah three times, then Jannah will say, O Allah, enter him into Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for Jannah. Akhu wa ta'ala nuzbas. Among the ways to Jannah is guarding the five salah, establishing the five salah in the masjid. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of Abu Dawood in Imam al-Nasa'i, خمس صلوات كتبهن الله على العباد فمن جاء بهن لم يضيع منهن شيئا استخفافا بحقهن كان له عند الله عهد أن يدخله الجنة ومن لم يأتي بهن فليس له عند الله عهد إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء أدخله الجنة. And this authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, there are five salah that Allah has made compulsory on his servants. So whoever does them and isn't deficient in establishing the salah, then he has a ahdun, a covenant with Allah, that Allah would enter him into Jannah. And that whoever doesn't have this, whoever doesn't establish these five salah properly, then he doesn't have a covenant with Allah. If Allah chooses to punish him, he will. And if he chooses to enter him into Jannah, he will. Here, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he's showing us one of the ways to Jannah. And this way we have to be mindful here in the West, as the masjids are few in number, to make sure that we establish our five salah in the masjid. As this is the establishment of the salah, and that none of the men who are of age, from the age of puberty on, none of us, we should think that establishing the salah in our houses is the establishment of the salah. But it's from that which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has left to the believers, that they establish their five salah in the masjid. That they establish their five salah in the masjid. And we should take this into consideration wherever we live, that we should live close enough to a masjid so that we can establish our salah. And we should take this into consideration at our places where we work and where we go to school, that we make our schedule such that we can establish the salah in the masjid. Wherever we work, we have a deal with our boss that I'm going to work for you for these hours. But on these times, I'm going to take a break because my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has more right that I obey him. And he has more right that I consider what he has prescribed for me, and that I establish my salat in the masjid. All of us, we have to take into consideration this wherever we work and wherever we go to school and wherever we live, that it's from the deen of Islam to establish the salat in the masjid. This is among the ways to Jannah, by establishing the salah in the masjid. And we see here that Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he tells us that Allah says that whoever doesn't establish the salah properly. And establishing the salah properly is by having the proper khushu', or the concentration and the humility in the salah, and performing the salat as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught the believers how to make the salat, and establishing the salat in the places where the salat is supposed to be established, and those are in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever doesn't do this, then he doesn't have a covenant with Allah. Either Allah will punish him for not establishing the salat properly, or Allah may forgive him and enter him into Jannah. But none of us should be as brave as to think that, oh, Allah is going to forgive me and enter me into Jannah because I don't establish the five salah in the masjid. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ يُصَلِّي لِلَّهِ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ سِنْتَيْ عَشْرَةَ رَكْعَةٍ تَطَوُّعًا غَيْرَ فَرِيضًا إِلَّا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And this narration of Imam Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is no Muslim servant, referring to the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes in many hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, where he mentions the word slave or servant, and he's referring to the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is no Muslim servant of Allah that establishes 12 raka'ah every day. And this is voluntarily, not the compulsory salah, except that Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And we see from the narration of Imam al-Tirmidhi that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that he explained that this was true before Fajr, and four before Dhuhr, and two after Dhuhr, and two after Maghrib, and two after Isha. And that this is the 12 rak'ah. So this sunan, and it's known as the sunan al-rawatib, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to practice, and in this hadith he's encouraging the believers to establish these 12 extra raka'ah on top of their five salah, in order that they take advantage of a way to Jannah. And as we were mentioning in the beginning, that if the door of good is open, that you should hurry up to it, because no one knows when it will be closed. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us good health, And this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should take advantage of our good health by making salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He can reward us with Jannah. And this is the benefit of good health, that we use it in order to benefit us. And that we're not like the disbelieving people who we see around us in this disbelieving society, who they are health conscious and they don't use their health to help them be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They exercise and they eat right in order to disbelieve and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter into the hellfire. And the Muslims, if we're going to be health conscious by exercising and eating right and taking vitamins and jogging and so on and so forth, that our ibad and our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be more. Why should you be healthier and your ibad and your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is less? This is how you show your thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by your good health, by not worshipping Allah, that we're going to spend more time jogging than we're going to spend worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we're going to watch what we eat, but we're not going to watch what we say. We're going to watch what we eat, but we're not going to watch what we do. We have to take advantage of our good health to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As some of our acts of worship, they take good health for the person. As a salah and jihad and maybe building a masjid and other things where they take our health. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blesses us with good health, then we should take advantage of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our good health before our old age or the lack of health comes to us and we don't have a chance to take advantage of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us advantage of today. Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامِ وَأَطْعِمُوا الطَّعَامِ وَصَلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ وَصَلُوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسِ نِيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in this authentic hadith, he says, O humanity, spread the salam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And feed the people with food. And keep good family ties. And make salah in the night when the people are sleeping. You will enter Jannah bi salah. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us a few ways from among the ways to get to Jannah. And no one, especially in the time of these conferences, when we see a larger gathering of Muslims that we're not accustomed to in our everyday lifestyle here in the land of the disbelievers, that we should take advantage of giving everybody the salam. Salamu alaykum akhi. Every time that we meet, when we come off the elevators, when we come out of our room, when we go into the room, we should give the salam to the believers. As this is one of the times of the year when we have more chance to take advantage of giving the salam. As most of us, if we go back to our cities, we're not going to see so many Muslims every day like we see during the days of the conference. So we have to take advantage of giving each other the salam, as this is one of the ways to enter into Jannah. Also, we have to take advantage of feeding the people. And this is among the ways to enter into Jannah, inviting the people to our houses and feeding them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the brotherhood, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could reward us with Jannah. And keeping family ties, and that is with the believers and the disbelievers. And that this is among the ways to enter into Jannah, and of course making the salah at night when the people are asleep. Among the ways, from the ways of Jannah, is fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ صَامَ يَوْمًا إِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ خُتِمَ لَهُ بِهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmad, that whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he died in this state, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to the translation of the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, خُتِمَ لَهُ بِهَا, then he will enter into Jannah. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us here, and we all know the virtues of the month of Ramadan, but here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is just showing us that fasting in general is a way to Jannah. Any day that we can choose from among the days that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had recommended, like Thursday, Mondays and Thursdays, and 3 days out of any month was the day of the full moon, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had encouraged us to fast so that we can seek this reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to accept the invitation to Jannah. Also among the ways to Jannah is by performing the Hajj correctly. And this is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-umratu ila al-umrati kafaratun lima baynahuma wal-hajju al-mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. And this is connected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, one umrah to the next umrah is an atonement for the sins in between the two umrahs. And the Hajj al-mabrur, or the Hajj performed correctly, there is no reward for it other than Jannah. And we have to be mindful of this statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It's as if the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam knew that the people wouldn't perform the Hajj correctly. Or that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was encouraging the believers to be mindful of the rites of the Hajj. Because if you perform it properly, then your reward will be Jannah. And nowadays, those among us who have made Hajj, we see that many of the believers go to make Hajj and come back and haven't made Hajj. And wallahi, we've seen this as just last year, we saw some of the people almost crying. I spent $4,000 to make this Hajj, and I don't know what I'm doing. And this is common amongst the Muslims, unfortunately, that they go to perform the Hajj and they don't know how. And some of the ulama, they used to say, when we go on a vacation, we spend more time learning about that vacation than we do of the Hajj. What country am I going to? Do I need any visas? How long before the trip do I have to apply for the visa? Do I need any vaccinations? What type? Where is the cheapest place I can go to get them? What doctor gives them? And so on and so forth, that the people look into all of the details. Which time of the year is best to go to this country? What time of the year is best to go to that country? And then when it comes to making Hajj, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling this pillar of Islam, that the people spend their money and get on the plane and they don't know what's happening. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in this hadith is encouraging us to perform our Hajj properly so that we can be rewarded with the reward of Jannah and to have our sins forgiven, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in other narrations. So we should be mindful of this encouragement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, not just simply because it's away from among the ways to Jannah, but because many of the Muslims don't perform their Hajj properly. And they lose not only this reward of Jannah, but even some of the people don't even perform the Hajj. Really, they go to perform it and they come back and they haven't fulfilled their right of Hajj. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his safety. Among the ways to Jannah is by giving charity. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ ابْتِغَاءَ وَجِهِ اللَّهِ خُتِمَ لَهُ بِهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, whoever gives any sadaqah, desiring the face of Allah, for the sake of Allah, and it's completed in this fashion, then he enters into Jannah. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us an easy way. And there are so many ways to give your charity. As there are so many Muslims who are in need of charity, there are so many Muslim organizations that are in need of charity, there are so many of the masajid that are in need of charity, that we should just be giving charity to seek this reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And none of us should ever miss out on this opportunity, especially when we're in the land of money. As many of the people outside of America, they think that the money is rolling in the streets. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-kareem has been very generous to us. And not many of us are complaining of our money. Except that we're living nicely and we want to live better. And that's our only complaint, that I just want a better car than the one that I have. Or I just want a bigger house than the house that I have. Or that I just want a better grade of food than the food that I have. But not many of us are complaining of the lack of anything. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And at least we can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving our wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's desire. the reward that His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has showed us of Jannah. Among the ways to accept this invitation to paradise is by walking to the masjid or walking back and forth to the masjid. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, "Man ghada ila al-masjid aw raha, a'adda Allah lahu fil jannati nuzulan kullama ghada aw raha." And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, whoever goes to the masjid and comes back, them into Jannah, and they never had a chance to build a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be mindful of this point, and all of us should be very keen at taking advantage of the opportunity to build a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what the size of it is. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, and the narration of Ibn Majah, and it's also authentic, "Man bana masjidan lillahi ka mafhasi qatatin aw asghara bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever built a masjid for the sake of Allah, like the size of a bird's nest or smaller, then Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. So no one should underestimate the size of the masjid, or that masjid isn't big enough. But that if the people have only enough money to establish a masjid that is a particular size, that everyone should be encouraged to help out, to seek the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because even if it's the size, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning this as an example, just to show. I mean, no one's going to build actually a masjid the size of a bird's nest, as no one can make salat in it, not even the imam. But the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's just teaching us the point that we should never underestimate anything done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how small it is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward us, and to double the reward, and to continue to double and double and double the reward of what we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the ways to Jannah, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us, and this is among the more difficult ways, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, is the statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an akthari ma yudakhilu al-nasa al-jannah, faqala taqwa Allah wa husnu al-khuluq. And this is authentically collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi wa Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, what thing are people entered into Jannah more than other things? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taqwa Allah, fear of Allah, and the fear of Allah or taqwa of Allah is to do what Allah commands and to stay away from what Allah has prohibited. This is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do what He tells you to and to stay away from what He prohibits. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and good character. And this is the point that I'm saying, that's one of the more difficult ones. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our character. This is another one, it may be even more difficult, and this is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in the authentic hadith of Abu Dawood, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبُطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَقَ الْمِرَاءِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحَقًّا وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِرْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا وببيت في أعلى الجنة لمن حسن خلقه. And this authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I guarantee a place in the best part of Jannah, or excuse me, on the outskirts of Jannah, for the person who leaves off arguing and debating, even if he's most correct. And I think that this point is among the points that's most closely related to the theme of the conference, that we're one ummah. And if we're going to be one ummah and to be united on the truth of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as understood and practiced by the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and the tabi'un and the scholars of Islam, that we're going to have to understand this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and to seek this reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us, and that's by leaving off arguing and debating, even if we're right. And most of the time we find ourselves in the argument, and someone comes to us and tells us, Akhi, take it easy. He says, I'm right, I'm trying to show the brother he's wrong. This is the time where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's showing us to leave off that arguing, even if you're right. And you can get your reward in Jannah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is a guardian over anyone, and we're not always going to make the people understand. And who are we to make everyone understand? Well, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he came with the truth to humanity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people disbelieved altogether. How much more is it for people to leave off what we say? If they left off what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, and we have to understand this point, and to seek this reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we're going to ever keep this ummah together. Because a lot of our divisions is over smaller points, where no one is able to be understanding to his brother or sister in Islam by saying, okay. Jazakallahu khayran, and to leave off the argument. Maybe the person, if they didn't understand the truth today, that they'll understand it tomorrow. And we have the statements of some of the ulama to say, don't you remember yesterday when you didn't know? And it doesn't take much for us to know yesterday how much we didn't know about the deen of al-Islam yesterday. Then why are we so amazed for someone who probably knows more than us anyway, that he doesn't accept one particular point from us? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in these hadith, showing us the ways to Jannah, we shouldn't just let them go past us so easily, but that we should take them to our heart, and we should try to practice them in our Islam, if we're going to make our Islam better. And if we're really going to be from among the people of Jannah. And none of us should say, oh, I'll leave off that one, because I'm going to do this one and get to Jannah. We know that you have to fulfill two conditions in your deed. And that is to be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, and then in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And all of us know the difficulty of making your intention sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one knows what deeds of his is going to be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one should say, oh, I'm not going to try that. I'm only going to handle this because I know Allah is going to enter me into Jannah because I said this dua when I entered into the soup. No one knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept from him and what he's going to turn down. And for this reason, we have to take advantage of all of these doors of good and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our good deeds. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes on to add in this hadith authentically collected by Abu Dawood, and I have a place in the middle of Jannah for the one who leaves off lying, even if he's joking. And this is common in America, as they see it on all of the movies and the TVs and the newspapers, that people are making jokes just to make people laugh, and all of them are lies. Most of the time, all of them are lies, not just some of them. And then we take this attitude too, that we want to make fun, and we want to make our brothers and sisters laugh at our jokes, but we're lying. Here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing us a better way for ourselves. And that's to leave off this lying and our joking, so that we can earn the reward of Jannah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, and I have, and I guarantee a house in the highest place of Jannah for the one who perfects his character. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever can guarantee me what is between his two jaws, meaning his tongue, whoever can guarantee me that he's going to use his tongue for that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not that which is disgraceful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the criticizing and exposing of the sins of the Muslims and backbiting and spreading of namima and corruption with our tongues, that whoever can guarantee the Prophet ﷺ this, and what is between his two legs, referring to staying away from fornication and adultery, that I will guarantee him Jannah. And this is also among the difficult ones, to keep our tongue safe from harming the Muslims. As the real Muslim is the one that the rest of the Muslims, they're safe from his tongue. And we have to watch our tongues. And I always mention, especially here in the land of the disbelievers, as all of the sins and that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are more magnified in the land of the disbelievers. Because they have made as a way of life doing that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to watch our tongues and to watch what we say, and not to take the habits and the customs of the disbelieving people, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guaranteeing us a way in Jannah if we can watch what we say on our tongues. And if we can watch what's between our legs, meaning staying away from fornication and adultery, which has become the custom of this people. Of the disbelieving people, it's the custom and it's the way. So much so that if you commit fornication and adultery long enough, they'll just consider you married. They'll consider you married. And even the brothers in Canada, they told me that the law had went all the way down to 1 year. Fornicate with her, for a year she's yours. And this is the corruption of this society. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is guaranteeing us Jannah if we can stay away from the lifestyles of these disbelievers who have made disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their way of life. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in this next hadith, which is authentically collected by Imam al-Tabarani in his Mu'jam al-Saghir, he says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِرِجَالِكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ قالوا بلى يا رسول الله فقال النبي في الجنة والصديق في الجنة والرجل يزور أخاه في ناحية مصر لا يزوره إلا لله في الجنة. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, he says, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, should I not inform you of the men of Jannah? And they said, of course, Ya Rasulullah. He says, the Prophet is in Jannah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Al-Siddiq is in Jannah, radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And a man who visits his brother in Islam, who is on the other side of the city, and he doesn't visit him except for the sake of Allah, then he is in Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our gathering here, inshallah ta'ala, not only seeking knowledge of this deen, but trying to visit our brothers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also from among the ways, especially for the women, and that is if they are obedient to their husband. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in this authentic hadith collected by Ibn Hibban, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَصَّنَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ بَعْلَهَا دَخَلَتْ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ شَاءَتْ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing the women a way to Jannah that is unknown to the women of Western civilization. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, any lady that makes her five salah and fasts her month of Ramadan, and that she keeps her private parts chaste, and she obeys her husband, that she will be able to enter into any door of Jannah that she pleases. And this is especially for the women, and the women should be very mindful of this point. As disbelievers, they have made it common, or they have made it discourageable, or something frowned upon for a lady to obey her husband. You listen to him? This is what the women encourage one another. And the Messenger of Allah encourages the women, which is better than that which the disbelievers encourage one another with, and that is for the women to obey their husbands. And that this is a way to Jannah. And that they need to nick off what they see on these crazy soap operas and in these magazines and in the so-called equal rights and what have you. The best rights are the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And who gives better rights than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah has given the lady the right to obey her husband so that she can enter into Jannah. And the women, they should take advantage of this. And of course, in this society, many of the women, they have to learn. And learning and practicing Islam, it doesn't come overnight necessarily. But once you understand this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and you know the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for you, then the women, they will make it part of their life to start living in obedience to their husbands. And they will find, after a while, it easy to be obedient to their husbands. And how can the women not find it easy to be obedient to their husbands when they find it so easy to be obedient to the government? Is there anyone from among us, when we see the police on, for example, on the side of the road, does anyone have any difficulty doing the speed limit? None of the women, they have any difficulty if they see the cop on the side of the road doing the speed limit. Why don't you have any difficulty? Because he's going to give you a $25 ticket or what have you. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is calling you to Jannah, inviting you to Jannah by obedience to your husband. How could you find it difficult? It should be easy, and the women, they shouldn't let the shaitan whisper to them and say, it's difficult to obey my husband. It's very easy. Whenever he commands you, say, yes, honey. And it's all. Whenever he commands you, yes, honey. It's just that simple. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the men and the women that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the ways to enter into Jannah is by tightening the road and making sure there's no gap in the road. And this, in the next point, inshallah ta'ala, are related to the theme of this conference. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, من صد فرجة في صف رفعه الله بها درجة وبنى له بيتا في الجنة. And this is collected by Imam al-Tabarani in his Mu'jam al-Awsat, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who says, whoever fills the gap in a row while we're making the salah, then Allah would raise him a level in Jannah and will build for him a house in Jannah. Here Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing us one of the ways to Jannah, and this is also one of the ways to keep the brotherhood tight and to keep the unity among the Muslims, and that is keeping the rows tight when we make our salah by lining up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. And this is one of the commandments of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that many of the Muslims have forgotten about when it comes to practicing this Islam. And we don't know of how many messages we've been to, and of how many lines we've stood in the Salat, where the Muslims do not line up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. If we close those ranks, it's from among the ways to Jannah. And if we close those ranks, it's among the ways to keep the brotherhood tight. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he shows us that our hearts will be divided if our rows aren't straight. And if our rows aren't tight, then our hearts will be divided. And if we wonder why the ummah isn't together, let's just look at our salat line. And we see that we're not lining up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder, and then we're still wondering why we have problems in this ummah. And some of the people, unfortunately, of ignorance, they have made statements like, we have big problems with the Muslims. How could you be worried about such a small issue of straightening the rows? The big problem stems from overlooking that small issue of straightening the rows. Why are the Muslims fighting one another? Why are the Muslims hating one another? Why are the Muslims against one another? Because they don't line up straight in their rows. as this is one of the ways of tightening the heart. And if we don't take this way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will divide our heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts united on this deen of Al-Islam. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shows us the way, or among the ways to Jannah, and this is by tightening the rows, lining up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. And this is the main responsibility of the Imam, to make sure that the rows are straight, and whoever the Imam asks to help him, should help him. And we should go to advise the Imam if we see that the Imam is lacking. If we see that the Imam is lacking, we should go to the Imam and say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is inviting us to Jannah by keeping the road tight. Will you take this advice, or will you accept this invitation to Jannah and to make sure the roads of our masjid is straight? Is there an Imam that we would think that would refuse this invitation if we came to him gently? We should be considerate to the believers and to help one another to accept the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us in the hadith that we had mentioned early, abashiru, give the people glad tidings and be inviting to the people. Don't try to chase the people away with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam and with the ayat of the Quran. But we should be inviting the people to practice this deen. Not akhi, put your foot next to the brother's shoulder. Yeah, Imam, why are you so stupid? You shouldn't even be the Imam. You don't even know that you're supposed to straighten the road. Allahu Akbar. Who in the world placed this brother in charge of us? We shouldn't have this type of attitude, but we should be inviting to pull the Imam to the side, to speak to him, to show him the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, to invite him to the truth, because when we hear the invitation of our Lord tabarak wa ta'ala and of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find that most of us accept the invitation of our Lord and our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We'll end this off as the brother is pushing me. And that is with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عليكم بالجماعة وإياكم والفرقة فإن الشيطان مع الواحد وهو من الاثنين أبعد من أراد بحبوحة الجنة فليلزم الجماعة. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I advise you with the jama'ah and beware of division. Because indeed the shaitan is with one person and he is farther away from two people. And whoever desires the best place in Jannah, then let him hold fast to the jama'ah. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us among the ways to Jannah is holding fast to the jama'ah, trying to be one ummah. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the people who set up this conference. And that this conference, inshallah ta'ala, it was an attempt to practice this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by uniting the Muslims, or encouraging the Muslims to be united as one ummah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.